Hey everybody, welcome to episode 14 of the Supercarcast, our most expensive episode ever. So give it a listen. We bought a lot of stuff and hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening. As always, Craig kicking us off for another episode of the Supercarcast. And for those who don't know how we recorded, that reference makes absolutely no sense. Thanks for joining us. My name is Oliver Von Meisner, one of your hosts. And joining me is Nick, Andre, and Drew. You guys want to say hi?
No.
Okay.
Good evening, morning, whatever, whenever you listen.
Hello.
So actually, interesting. I was thinking about this. This is our most expensive episode ever. Like the amount to produce this episode in terms of purchases makes this probably one of the more expensive podcast episodes produced by not known podcasters. So yeah, we bought a lot of stuff this week.
Hey, that's not true. Josh knows who we are.
That's true. After this, I'll make this the podcast title. If everyone can tell me, like, you can just message me roughly what you spent, I'll total it all together, and the title of this episode will be "This episode cost X dollars to produce," and that'll be it. So it should be a fun one. I'm hoping that like the discussion goes well. Who should we start with? Nick, do you want to start? Like, we'll go incrementally.
Yeah,
relatively speaking, I guess your purchase was the smallest, even though it wasn't a small purchase.
Doesn't.
Yeah, it's small in size, so that works. I don't have many updates, but I did end up going ahead and buying a set of wheels for the POW 2 days ago. I want to say it was 2 days ago. I bought a set of wheels for the POW. So I've been him and hawing over a bunch of different sets for the last few weeks on Yahoo Auctions, and then. Well, actually bid on a completely different set of wheels because I found a set of 13-inch Star Sharks, and I currently still have the highest bid, so those wheels might be incoming in the next 36 hours if that's the case. It's just two wheels there.
I think it's worth just calling out the Star Sharks are significant because you actually already have a set on your Miata.
Yeah,
and so they're already rare as hell.
Yeah, and so they were a set of 4x100 Star Sharks. Irony, before this podcast started, I tried to buy another set of Star Sharks from Thailand. No, I literally messaged them, but
you need parts from Thailand, let me know, because my buddy has family in Thailand.
There you go.
It's actually very beneficial to me because coilovers are built in Thailand.
What? Really?
Yeah. It's so that's actually really beneficial for me for sure. So I'll hit you up on that post podcast. So looked through a bunch of wheels, kept going back and forth. And then I came across it once before, wasn't able to validate it. Auction ended. I haven't seen them pop up. And then I found a set of SSR Longchamp XR4s. So in
4x100.
So those are really tough to find in 4x100. They're way common in 4x114. But where it gets a little bit more interesting is their 12-inch wheels.
Which is cool. Those are tiny wheels.
So I was able to back in all the way to find...
That sounds unsafe.
That's what's on the POW now.
Yeah, 12 or 100.
No, it looks unsafe.
Do you have to go to Ace to buy tires?
I can use any trailer spare. It works perfectly fine.
I didn't think it'd be a trailer spare. They'd be like, hey,
a wheelbarrow spare.
Point me towards your lawnmower wheels.
I know in the Mini Cooper world, because they use 10-inch wheels a lot, they actually get golf cart like tires Mini Coopers and then run those things at like highway speed, which can't be safe, but
sounds legit.
The car's light enough.
Super legit. Yeah. So
your tires are a little bit more legitimate than that, right? Like they're actual somewhat brand recognizable.
Yeah, they're Nankeng or whatever those are.
Yeah. Nankeng's a good brand.
So one of those. But I ended up finding a set. I backtracked through like Kaiusu shoes to find the random like spec and find everything. So it is 12x4.5 wide, offset 38 plus 38. So it's four and a half. So 12x4.5. So it is nothing.
What is your tire size?
165.
That's the first time in the world that a 165 is a balloon.
It is. Yeah. 165, like 80.
That's funny.
R12. So yeah, I ended up picking up those set. So just waiting for them to get to the warehouse in Japan and then ship from here, there to here. I contacted Barrel Bros today about getting a hold of XR4 center caps.
What speed rating are those tires?
What is that? 14 miles an hour?
Faster than the PAL can run.
Actually, if you think about it, though, like rotationally wise, wouldn't they have to be rotating much faster to achieve freeway speeds?
Technically, from a physics standpoint, you're 100% accurate.
But the problem is the car tops out at like 55.
Yeah, but that's because it's running. Like, if it had 17s on, it'd be like 85.
So you're telling me if he puts like
maybe,
30
maybe
on
20s,
it, he could do like 200 in the standing mile. Is that what we're going to?
Okay. Listen, yeah, when my old 912 had like those giant tires, I could go 80, no problem. And I put on normal tires, I'm like, 80. Okay, we're going like 5.
All right.
So they're not making any of the caps right now. They're out of stock. So I found a whole slew of caps. Luckily, those are easy to find. So it's just picking, do I want silver or gold for the sticker when it comes through? But we'll see when they come in. But yeah, that is the update. I'll be more excited about it when they arrive. Currently, right now, I'm still like, hey, spent a bunch of money on wheels, but it's a. Right.
This was an impulse purchase, kind of, right?
Yeah, it was one of those things I looked at, and I'm like, if I don't buy the 12-inch wheel, I'm never going to find the 12-inch wheel again. And I've kicked myself in the ass from losing a set of Star Sharks in the past that way. So it's one of those things I'm like, whatever, send it. But then because also shipping is limited from Japan outwards, there is no cheap shipping option. Even if it's like 12-inch wheels, I'm already prepped looking at $850 to $900 to ship.
God.
Yeah, so it's
is that coming with the tires? You said no, right?
No tires. That is wheel. So it's we'll wait for those fees to come in. They have to package it up differently. I'll see how that cost all comes into effect. But given how fast things normally get to their warehouse, I should probably get an update. I would say maybe Sunday, just given the fact that it's already Friday right now there. So I'll probably get an update on Sunday when it's Monday there, whether or not they've got it. And we'll see if I can get as fast as shipping as all my other parts from customs. I doubt, but
probably go pretty quick.
One can hope, but yeah, no, that's the big update. It was pretty impulsive. So I'll hopefully be happy later. I'll be probably happy when they arrive and they're on. But it's definitely one of those things. But we got wheels now.
So one thing that you told me, I know outside of the podcast, I don't know if you touched on it, maybe I missed it, but you said that they're identical spec to the current wheels that you have right now. So like you can just swap over your tire and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Are you going to space them out or anything like, cause like we talked
not
about it a little
to
bit.
Begin with.
So you're just going to leave it.
Yeah. It's at stock ride height. It's super sucked in on the rear, but yeah, that's what stock is a moment. So just run them for a little bit. When I go ahead and drop it down, then we'll need to space them. More importantly, they'll need to be rebuilt. But at that moment, I'll know what the specs are that I want to rebuild them to.
You can measure that all out.
I can measure that all out with the wheel. So it's we'll leave them sucked in and just chilling for a bit as we get that going. But yeah, that's the least expensive of the pod. The most impulsive, right? Potentially. No,
I feel like that's the stage.
No, not even the most impulsive. I feel like I think this whole week was impulsive.
You've been looking for wheels. That's not impulsive.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like I finally pulled the trigger. So least impulsive, smallest amount, and carry on to the next.
Actually, you know what? So wait, after shipping, they might be more expensive than our partner for Mercha.
Oh yeah.
Oh, actually,
we're about on par.
We're about the exact same. We might have the exact same cost. Yeah. Well, if I include getting center caps as well, yep.
Mm-hmm. Still, I mean, I think it's going to look cool. The POW definitely deserves some rad wheels. And I feel like because the Miata's got those crazy rare small wheels, the Star Sharks, it's all SSR made. So you're just staying on brand with all your cars, which is pretty cool. I don't know. I dig it. I understand you're like, I don't know. Like, I bought these, you know, But you were looking for wheels, and I feel like these kind of hit all the marks. And Longchamp specifically, like, you've seen a bunch of Mark Ones pop up. You've seen a bunch of like mini lights and Watanabes pop up, but yeah, you haven't seen these at all. Period. Minus when they were first listed.
I messaged the other guy that did the case, Swap Pow. So I had reached out to him because he was looking for SSR and 4x112s for a while, and he ended up with 4x98.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to try wobble bolts to see if that works. And then so I'm like, wait. So I'm like, how long were you hunting before you gave up on 4x98? He's like, I don't know. 9 months. And I was like, oh, okay. So when like I heard that, I was like, all right, 4x112s. He's like, yeah, I would have bought those if you didn't for a future project. So it should be good. It fits the tough to find category. And then we'll go with SSRs for all the wheels inside the garage.
That'd be cool. Then, yeah, because the ND is are we announcing that?
we can announce it. The ND is going to get formula meshes. We'll do that in silver. And then I'll sell wheels for the 4Runner.
The 4Runner wheels are work made, right?
I mean, we can go SSR. There's no commitment saying that we have to finish building those. We could those go.
The SSR, there's a six lug SSR design that looks so cool. I have to send it after. I forget the name of the wheel, but it's like a flat face with just like a bunch of holes in it. I don't know if you know, it's sort of like a Krager steel wheel, but
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got like writing on it and everything. That's SSR made. That'd be sick.
What wheels do you have for the 4Runner?
Autostrada Modenas.
Oh.
They look like Ferrari F40 wheels.
Yeah. And are they taken apart?
Yeah, because I was starting to redo them. They're 17 by 8 plus 0, so they're perfect spec for your 4Runner.
It's been so long that I forgot what the whole story was behind those.
I started and then I didn't.
Well, he's also missing, you're missing center caps, right?
Yeah. Which
is, that's like, that totals the wheels effectively because finding them is impossible.
Yeah, I have a eBay pop-up thing, an eBay Canada pop-up, and an eBay.de pop-up for those caps. We're going to just end up going with Caleb, I think, building them out.
That'd be cool. He does great work.
And he's cost-effective, all things considered. Because given those caps normally are running $600 to $700 just for the caps.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's
But well, they made, like, none of those wheels.
And also the cap is the size of the Powell wheel. it's ridiculously large, but yeah, no, it should be good as it gets in. I've got other parts coming in from Japan right now anyways. So a couple more shipments should get in, but it's nothing exciting. It's me just building my own back shop of parts. So
that's still cool. I don't know.
Mirrors are coming. I've got extra side mirrors. I've got extra new old stock parts. When they pop up, I just buy them, except I learned I can't buy from the guy on eBay because he'll cancel my order to actually sell it on Yahoo auctions. So that was frustrating. But
you know, those guys, like, you'll find like a part on Craigslist or something. And you'll go to their place and they'll have like a shed in the back or like a warehouse or something. You know, they're like 70 years old and they've just been collecting parts for just decades. Those are always the coolest. And so I feel like you're doing that with the POW.
You're gonna be
50 years old and you're gonna have like 12 POW shells on the shelf with just, you know, every single new old stock part. Like, you're just doing that right now.
There'll be 17 of them left because the rest of them have rusted out.
Mm.
You always wonder how those guys get to that point, and we get to watch it live.
Right.
We should start a Twitch stream.
So yeah,
just every night doing like a POW parts haul.
You like seeing him on eBay just like endlessly scrolling.
Yeah, no, every night when the phone goes off with this many new parts showed up, Kristen knows the noise now. That's the eBay notification noise, and she's like, POW parts. I'm like, yeah, it's POW parts again. Lots of remote control cars keep popping up.
Is there a remote control POW?
Yeah, there is.
You should get that. You should drag race your own POW, see which is quicker.
I think it would take it off the line.
I was gonna say sure. The remote control car all day.
off the line. Once you get going, I don't know. Well, I mean, this aside, before we get into the other ones, that's kind of a story. Nick and I went to a all JDM classic meet show. I don't know what you want to call it. Sure. And I rode in the POW like for the first time. One, riding on the left side of the car is weird. It takes some getting adjusting, like with your brain. But also, I mean, yeah, okay, sure, the car is slow. There's no denying that. But it didn't feel dangerously slow. You know what I mean?
And you got up to speed. You got to have the bro-dozer roll his window down.
Oh, yeah. That is absolutely true. You remember when Nick said that bro-dozers love the POW? Yeah. This dude in like a jacked up Tundra like rolls up on us and he like lowers his windows and like, is that a Fiat? I love that thing, man. That's so cool. What year is that? He loved it.
Or the guy that got out of the Valley Metro bus. That was the driver that got out of the bus to look at the car.
When you think about it, the bus is the original bro-dozer. Is it? Philosophical food for thought. It's a big sure.
Can we clip that for the end? That's a clip we need for the end.
Perfect. That'll be our outro for the... Anyway.
All right.
So congrats on the wheels.
Thank you, man.
All right. I'm cutting a lot out. Andre, we're moving on to you next. You bought a few things, actually, since our last episode. Because if our listeners remember, your Lexus got wrecked.
Yeah, it got... Well, so it got hit, and then... The insurance people told me it was totaled, and so I wasn't sure what to do. And work was having some pretty good deals, so I leased myself a brand new Jetta, like a normal entry level adult. Just the most boring spec appliance of a car you can find.
Kinda. There is one asterisk to that.
Is it like
it is manual?
GLI?
Nope. It's a base model Jetta.
But it's manual. Which is manual. I mean,
so that's something.
keep that hint of enthusiasm.
But it's kind of like driving a toaster where you have to manually select the shade of toast you want. So like
you're just hovering on the cancel button, like,
yeah. yeah, it's exactly like that. You know, but it's cool because it's got modern features, which I've never had before. And like
a steering wheel?
Like, is other question of steering?
I don't know if it's an entry level, like,
does driving it around with a vice grip
Bluetooth?
Well, no, it's not a Porsche. It comes standard with a steering wheel. You don't have to pay extra for that.
Does it have Bluetooth?
Yeah, it's got Bluetooth, Android Auto, Apple CarPlay for all the losers in the room. You know, it's got.
Okay.
It's got your back, brother. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. It's got all the like whatever safety lane departure. Nonsense. I don't know. It's cool. I like it. It's boring, but I like it.
Oh yeah.
Nice, man. So I mean, obviously, I think it goes without saying the plan is not to ever do anything with this because it's a leased car.
I'm actually getting out of the hobby. I'm moving on. So this is my last podcast. It's been good, guys.
Hold on. Weren't you the guy that had a leased Lancer that you put 10, 12 wides on, had the fenders pulled and resprayed to go bam?
Yeah, but back then, the only reason I leased it was because it was cheaper and I was poor. I had no intention of giving it back.
Here's the question. When are we autocrossing it?
Oh, my God.
you
should.
The man's got a point.
Yeah, there's an autocross coming up soon in Tucson that I really want to go to. Please bring them.
Well, I don't think I have enough miles to get there. It's a lease, you know, so like I got to watch my mileage.
Oh, come on.
We can throw it on the trailer and be the trailer queen. Trailer
out there.
show up with a base model brand new Jetta on a trailer and let's put some tire warmers. Don't you have like tire wrap or something?
We'll get some moving blankets
to warm this up and a ratchet strap to hold them back.
It's still got the 45-day temp tag on the back.
You like tape the grill up to make it more aerodynamic. Like, I'm kind of down.
I'm but so also, down. I wanted that this would be the dumbest YouTube thing ever. Hey, what's up, guys? We're here down in Tucson about to autocross this brand new Jetta based toaster.
Also, just being at the event will be entertaining because, like, everyone's gonna be like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Like, you've never been to an event; no one's heard of you. You show up at the everyone's gonna be like, "Is this like some sort of sleeper?" And like, everyone's gonna line up against the fence. It's gonna be all eyes on you, and then you should just plow into every single cone.
Can we bring the POW too? POW versus Jetta.
Supercar Bell's getting downed. Felt the body roll.
Oh my god! I got scared. I legitimately got scared in the POW. I thought we were actually going to tip over for a second. Timber. We went around a roundabout, and Nick was like, "I'm going to cut the corner," and the body roll was so serious that I thought like it was going to hop up on the wheels. It was
of course, Nick was like, "We're going to cut the corner." Mm-hmm.
It scared me. Like I think I yelped a little bit. I was like, "Whoa, no!" Like, you hang did. On. Yeah.
Oliver's in the car. One of the wheels is coming off the ground. It's just my style.
Right, I guess. I never thought I'd be scared in a Nissan POW, but here we are. Right.
If you ever want to roll a car, let me know. I'll come ride with you.
Have you rolled a car?
No, but we've spun out in the middle of a busy intersection before, so I think next on the list is rolling a car.
Well, I mean, he does have the perfect car now to spin out in a busy intersection.
That's true, but we'll get to that. All right, so you got your new autocross beast. I don't anticipate we'll ever talk about it again.
No, not unless it explodes.
There's a good chance.
Which it, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Or the truth might come out about its real mileage by the EPA.
Oh yeah.
It's not Toaster a diesel. Date. It's not a diesel. It's a 1.
Unleaded date 2022.
1.6. No, it's 1.4.
Is it a 1.4? Yeah, I don't even know.
I was like, Nick's Miata has more displacement on you.
That's right. Yeah, that is
true. He's got the big block.
You know what Nick always says? There's no replacement for displacement.
So a little side offshoot. A week after I bought this Jetta, and I didn't drive it because like the Lexus still had gas in the tank, so I figured I'll just drive that until they come take it away from me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I drove the Jetta like once, parked it, kept driving the Lexus, and then my insurance called me and was like, "Hey, never mind, we're actually gonna fix it. It's not totaled."
Shut up!
Surprise!
Yeah. Surprise! So
surprise! Shut it!
It's currently at the body shop getting body shopped.
I remember when you messaged me about that. I thought you were kidding.
Nope.
I was like, there's no way.
Not at all kidding.
Because we were literally joking about that the night before. Like, what if they don't total it after you got this Jetta? And you're like, that won't happen. That thing's destroyed.
Well, I was like, there is a possibility, but it's like a very slim, like 1% chance. Well, it happened. So now I have to figure out how to get rid of this Lexus once they fix it.
So are you going to like part out the stuff that you put on and just sell it as is?
No, I feel like I was just going to sell it as is. The least amount of work as possible. And I feel like some hot boy kid is going to hopefully jump all over that.
Do you like the Jetta more than the Lexus?
I mean, no is the correct answer, but as a daily, the Jetta just—I don't know. I feel like as a daily, I do because it's got like modern features and my phone connects automatically, and like I don't have to take the keys out of my pocket. I just like touch the door handle. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's a nice appliance.
Well, the other thing is too, you can drive it and park in places, and not worry. Like if a Jeep hits you, oh well. My toaster's got a dent in it now.
No, he has to pay for that when he turns it in.
Yeah, I have to fix that because I'm going to have to return it. Insurance
covers it. I'm saying there's no sentimental value in it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that part is accurate, yes. And I can blend in everywhere.
Right. Like the Lexus had some sentimental.
Not, I can blend in so well. This isn't a joke. I wish this was a joke. I swear to you, this is. I went to get Chipotle the other day in a busy parking lot, and when I walked out of Chipotle, I couldn't find my car because I didn't remember what it looked like. I walked around hitting the fucking remote, listening for it to honk because I didn't. I was like, "What did I drive here? It's a Jetta, but what does it look like?" So I kind of like that.
You guys know that I used to buy and sell a lot of cars, but so
did you?
My
did you?
Boss would ride with
me. Who would buy from you?
And we were going to the bank one day, and I like drove like a black car. And we go inside. He's like, "I'm going to go wait in the car." I'm like, "All right, man." I walk out and like, "Where the hell is my, like, where's John? Where is he?" And this guy walks out, sits in his car. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing in my car, dude?" He's like, "Oh." He's like, "This is your car." And he like gets out. I'm like, "Dude, where are you doing in that guy's car?" He's like, "I thought it was yours." So nice. There you go.
Yeah, it was a strange feeling of like, oh no, I don't even know what my own car looks like.
Like a smashed fish.
Yes, well, yes, it is. It has been lovingly named Smash Mouth, the least Jetta. And it might be my favorite car name I've ever had. So it's got fantastic. That going for it. Yes.
And I take full credit for naming it. So
yes, I will give you full credit for that.
All right. So we covered your Jetta acquisition. Shall we now cover the next acquisition? Because you doubled down and you got something else in like the span of a week.
So I decided I'm going to trade my V8 in for two engines that equal still less liters than the small 4-liter V8 that comes in the Lexus. I guess Drew found it.
Take
kind of, technically.
He did.
Kind of.
He literally found it.
Well, but he didn't know that I wanted it.
No, but I still made it happen.
Yeah. I'll give you partial credit. I went full Volkswagen fanboy and bought myself another Jetta.
Two Jettas.
I bought two Jettas within like 2 weeks of each other.
The best part is I can't remember if it was a Jetta or like a Rabbit. So
this is This is why you get partial credit.
Still made it happen.
That's where you lose points. Okay.
He had like three cars that were way cooler than that, and he bought that one.
He had one car that was cooler, and he had a shitty Porsche up on jack stands and a garbage ass bug. Fight me.
All right. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this.
No, his Scirocco was super cool.
Scirocco was so cool.
That Scirocco was so fucking cool.
Please tell the people all about this second Jetta that you acquired.
It's a 1985 first year Mark II, first year of the second generation. Wait for it. Base model Jetta, baby. That's right. I bought two base model Jettas in 2 weeks.
What about the mileage?
So yeah, that's probably the only reason that I actually bought it. It's got 41,000 original miles on it.
It's crazy. That's insane.
It had the original timing belt on it, like from factory, still on it.
Dude, you should frame that.
I don't know if the guy's keeping it or if he's going to leave it with the car. Because he like kept it in the box. He was like, "I feel like I should keep this." And I was like, "Yeah, that's kind of cool." It was on its second set of tires. We came to that conclusion because the tires are from 92. So that would put it like right around its second set of tires.
Goodness.
Should be good for a daily.
Yeah. The tires. Yeah, that's yes, I know. The interior is like brand new. I mean, it's like old and shitty and sagging because like it's 35 years old, but like there's no tears. Everything's like super 80s. It's really cool.
That's the most mind-blowing part, is because like you've been hunting for a Mark II for a while, I'd say, and like we haven't been able to find anything, and then one pops up that rust free, right? Because it's been an Arizona car its entire life.
Not only is it rust free, but like it, like back in the day, they used to sell this like rust proofing goop that they would spray all over the car, mm-hmm. and so like the entire car is underneath is covered in that rust proofing goop,
or like Cosmoline. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it was like an aftermarket goop that they would like upsell at the dealerships. And like this car didn't need it, obviously, because you know it's from Tucson, but it like the hole underneath is still like freshly gooped.
That's insane.
Yeah.
41,000 miles. That's unbelievable.
The dash isn't even cracked. It's incredible.
Wow. That's amazing.
I can't wait to see this thing. I mean, I had a Mark II.
I mean, and it's still like a shit box. So like, don't get your hopes up too high. Like, it's still
No, they all are. But I just want to see like what one was like new back in the '80s. What it was like.
By the way, before someone replaced
all the fuel line with vacuum hose.
The only reason I sent that picture was because you owned one of those, and he specifically said, he's like, yeah, when I got this, someone, you know, they couldn't figure out how to get it working because the mechanical fuel injection. I'm like, I got a buddy. Funny story.
Yep. Did we ever talk about that on the podcast? I hate to take away from yours, Andre, but just a side story. I had a GLI, a Mark II. What was mine? 91? I think mine was like the last model year. Recaros and all that. And it like never, ever, ever ran correctly. And it had that mechanical fuel pump, that Bosch, whatever. I forget the name of it, like Fueltronic or something. And what turned out to happen was the dude who owned it before me was cheap as hell. And the gas lines, like the fuel lines to the fuel distributor, he replaced them with vacuum hose instead of fuel hose. And so that started deteriorating with fuel and ethanol and the fuel and everything running through it. And then that got into the distributor and that got into the injectors, because the injectors are not like normal injectors. They're like threaded into the head and just destroyed everything. And the thing never ran right. So, yeah.
Do you mind saying how much you spent trying to remedy that?
Actual like money, not a ton. It was just time. I spent hours and hours.
I thought you just threw in the towel before you spent too much money.
Oh, I thought it was like that German shopping. You spent like, I don't know. I was guessing you spent like $2,000 on that.
Oh, no. I actually didn't spend all that much money on that Mark II. But it was just a bunch of time. Like, I took out that whole pump. I like cleaned it all out, and then I replaced it with another one. But because everything like behind it and in front of it was bad, like it just gummed up the new one, and then the injectors were still bad. I wanted to put carbs on it, but like eventually I was just like, screw this thing.
My favorite memory of that car is you're just north of Pecos on Valvista. And yeah, he's just going around a roundabout testing it. And it's just like, you would think he was just drifting around there like in a Formula Drift car. The amount of smoke coming out of this thing. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
I remember that story specifically because I was so pissed, because like I had just thought I fixed it and it hadn't given me trouble all the way down to your old house, which was far as hell away. I was like, perfect, it's fixed, let's go to the pavilions. And like, that's I hop in and we get like halfway down whatever Gilbert Road, and there's like a community, and like it started bucking and doing the same thing again. I pull in, and it was a gated community, and they had like a little roundabout in front of the gate. And I'm like, maybe if I like clear out whatever it is, it'll at least make it to pavilions, right? And so I started doing just laps on this roundabout while Drew's behind me in his Turbo S2000. And like, I just want to picture like some one of these rich people in the community like pulls to the gate, and there's this Volkswagen belching smoke everywhere, and this Turbo S2000 just like spooling behind it. Just in a little circle over and over and over again. That's when I gave up. That was the last time I drove that car.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's when I gave up on it.
No, man, we've had some memories over the years.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So what else? What else can you tell us about this one, Andre? It runs, right? Like you drove it?
Oh, yeah.
You drove it?
Yeah. Cool. It runs pretty well. I guess I'll find out for sure when I pick it up. Spoiler alert, I haven't actually acquired it, so
that's true.
Yeah, you get hopefully it this tomorrow. Doesn't jinx it. But I did drive it, and it drove I guess I don't know what it's supposed to drive like, but it drove, so I'd call that good. It didn't stop though, so that was terrifying. The brakes are painfully aggressively bad. No, like so the front, it's got rear
wet
drums.
Cardboard.
What, Nick?
Wet cardboard?
Yeah.
The Forerunner was wet cardboard. Like the Forerunner when I first bought it, it was like stepping on a dead fish.
Worse than that?
Yeah, so this thing the brake pedal isn't soft. It just doesn't do anything. Because the rear drums are the size of your POW wheels. Like they're the small, they're no, they're not, they're have, they have to be like 8 inches big. They're the tiniest drums. And the front rotors are non-vented. So like they're the rear rotors on most
single piston caliber. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when you hit the brakes, it just doesn't do anything. And it was terrifying.
So the GLI brakes were decent, and that should just be a bolt-on affair. Like if you can find all the GLI, because then it'd be a disc rear conversion, and swap that all out. So we should find you a set, because I actually remember the Mark II having decent brakes on mine.
Really? Yeah, well,
I feel like it stopped fine.
Well, I feel like I'd need like master cylinder, all the calipers, like all the distribution valves, if there is any. Because those are all going
to
be different.
It shouldn't be hard to source.
Yeah, probably.
And
other than that, I mean, everything else seemed okay. It has ice cold AC, which is mind blowing.
What?
R12 life.
That's right. He said that. He said it was
R12 life. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still got the original R12. And he like recharged it like 6 months ago. And when I test drove it, I kicked it on and like, sure shit. Ice cold, which like
that's incredible.
That pretty much cemented the deal. I was like kind of unsure. I was like, I mean, I don't know if I want to do a whole project car. Like, I know I want a Mark II, but like, do I really want a Mark II? And then like, I went to drive it down the street and I kicked the AC on. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess it's not that bad.
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I've never been in a Mark II with working AC.
So that's pretty cool. It's. The paint's like most of the paint is I mean a good
color
looking.
Awesome though.
The trunk has like some weirdness going on. I don't know what's going on with the trunk. It looks like it's
a tree sap.
It looks like clear coat failing. But like
it's almost like it's been in Arizona for like 35 years.
Yeah, but like shouldn't those cars be single stage paint? Like I feel
is
like
it a metallic brown?
No, yeah, it's just like a
flat brown.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's just a brown.
I thought it was a metallic.
I thought because if it was metallic, I think those were two stage, like a clear. It looked like from the photo you sent me. I don't know. I didn't check that closely, but it looked like it had some flake in it. In which case,
I guess I didn't really pay.
I thought it was like a root beer.
I didn't pay that close attention to the paint, but I thought it was like flat. At any rate,
no, it's definitely metallic, dude. The picture you sent me is very metallic.
Yeah, because it's like a metallic root beer, which is sick, by the way. I've never seen that color on a Mark II.
It's pretty cool.
I would get the only fucking Mark II with clear coat on it. good job, Andre. Way to just...
Yeah, no, that's just, definitely like... That's metallic brown.
It'd
sure.
just be real bad at life. Yeah, and that's the other the unfortunate part about is somebody dropped a somebody drops it, like the not the guy that I bought it from, but like the previous owner dropped something on the door and put a big old dent in it.
Oh, that'll totally come out with PDR.
Yeah, except it's still gonna have a giant scratch in there, which is unfortunate. But yeah, there's like a couple dings and dents that I'll have to get PDR'd out. Because I feel like it's worth it on this.
This would be a work in progress.
Car. Yeah,
right.
But overall,
so can we talk about the plans for this thing, or do you want to leave that for a future?
Well, I mean, I have the plans that I thought up of now, but
okay,
if those stay or not, you know, we'll see.
Motor swap?
Yeah, the current plan is, I guess, the current end goal is a VR6 swap bagged car?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, we're going to say bagged. We're going to say bagged for now.
Yeah.
A bag.
They're not meant for canyon carving, so yeah.
But that's not
bag it.
That's not why I'd not bag it. So that's the current idea. We'll see how that progresses.
It's going to be so cool. I can't wait. You couldn't have found a better base. Like, I think the rule is you find the best example of what you can.
I literally found a base.
Okay, Drew found the base. Well,
Drew found the base.
Drew partial credit found the base.
Also,
in the middle of nowhere.
That color shined up is amazing.
No, it wasn't.
By the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can you put that in chat?
I did.
I really want to see, just out of curiosity.
Is
that the actual color?
Oh, wow.
It is. It's metallic brown. That's the actual color.
That looks much darker, though.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
It's because it's not oxidized. So for it's reference,
technically, the color is antelope metallic.
That's cool. Yeah, he bought like a deep root beer brown Mark II.
Is doo-doo, baby?
Yeah. I don't know. It still looks like a silver metallic if you go back to the first picture I sent.
Well, I think that's just the shitty quality of the photo.
Well, let's wait, because Saturday we're going to see this car, right? So next episode, we'll circle back to the...
Saturday, we'll hopefully see the car. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I still have to register it and not die driving it home. And that's also fine. Get it. I still don't even own it. So let's hold
well,
on.
Well, yeah, but fair. I mean, I hope you guys agreed on everything, but I suppose he could back out or something. But I think it'd be fine. This guy sounds legit from what Drew said.
Yeah, he seemed like a real...
he's a VW guy.
Yeah, he's a pretty legit dude.
Cool. All right, well, congrats on both your Jettas. One we'll hear a lot about, the other we'll never hear about again. So look forward to more Mark 8 updates.
Yeah, lots of Smash Mouth updates.
Talk about that stupid GL again.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm stoked that we have another Mark 2 in the group, to be honest. That my GLA, I love that car. It ran like garbage, but it was such a cool car. Like, it had a lot of character and personality to it. So
that sounds like something a fat girl says.
I have personality.
Sorry, it was an open shot, but I actually really like those cars. I vouch for Mark II as well.
Nick transformed mine. Like,
so there's nothing wrong with being a fat girl.
No, not at all. That's
You two can be a Mark II.
But that is, I think, knowing I love brown cars, and literally that Sunday I was pointing out a brown Corolla, and I'm like, I love this brown Corolla. And then all of a sudden a brown Jetta popped up. I'm like, please make this happen. And you did. And that's why I'm like, yeah, let's find out how shiny we can get this brown.
We should probably finish this out on like also how we got Drew to pass on the number, because like Drew threw the photo, and we have like a little group chat for the podcast, and he threw the photo in there. I was like, what is going on? And then I tag Andre. I'm like, Andre, look at this. You need this. I'm like, Drew, please look at this. Please get the guy's number. Is it for sale? Holy crap. We got to get this. Like, it was full blown panic. And then Nick was in on it. And then Nick was texting Drew. So like, good find.
Great find.
Yeah. Except for then Drew was of zero help when I tried to get info from him.
Well,
I called him, he didn't answer. Then he called me back and I was like, what's the deal? And he was like, I don't know. Here's the number. Bye. I was like, all right, cool.
All right. So we'll just kind of move forward.
All right. Well, let's move to your stories, because your stories will flow into mine partially.
So, do I start at the beginning of the week and like?
Yeah, run us through everything, because I know
I feel you've like been... Drew should have started, because everything stemmed from Drew.
Kind of, but whatever. We'll put it right in the middle of the podcast.
Here's the big reveal. All right, guys. So, I don't know. It's been a rough 2 weeks, to be completely honest. I got hit in the head in a hockey game. I lost my temper. I got suspended for 2 games. So we ended up getting eliminated from the playoffs because I could not play goalie. And this other guy did. So my season's over. Still have to serve one more game, which is disappointing.
Condolences, but podcast.
Yes, but no, it leads into that. And so that was last weekend. And then I guess like a week and a half ago. And so going into my work week, I had a long work week, and I saw this awesome ZHP been listed for 23 minutes. A Moeller Red, 130,000 miles on it, manual, 6-speed manual, sedan, exact car that I've been wanting for like 2 years or like a year and a half, whatever, since I sold mine. And I messaged a guy. I'm like, I talked to him on the phone, super cool guy. And he's like, hey, man, I would love to sell this to you. It sounds like you are the perfect home, but I already gave this guy my address. So if he doesn't come, the car's yours. So I wait for like 2 hours. I'm like, any news? Like, I'll give you more money than what you're asking. He was asking $3,500. I'm like, I'll give you $4,000, $5,000. I don't give a shit. Like, whatever, dude. Like, this is a car I want and be a great daily. Well, as great of a daily as any BMW can be. So terrible daily, but whatever.
Awful daily.
So he writes me back. And he's like, sorry, man, this guy took it. And I was like, well, was he at least excited about it? He's like, not really. I'm like, that sucks. And, you know, the caveat of this car is it did have some frame damage, crashed into a curb. But allegedly it was zeroed out. But he wanted to use it as a track car, and he'd never be able to run of aggressive as alignment as he wanted to. So, you know, that was on my mind all week. I've been like hunting for BMWs and just like searching on Craigslist more than I have been lately, just because I've been like thirsty.
I didn't interrupt Drew, but there was a little bit more to that story because I saw that car again.
We were going to get
to that. I found it on Facebook. Okay. All right.
But go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I mean, if you were going to get to that, I'll chime in when you get to that point.
Yeah, so, but no, it's Oliver found it. Guy sold it for $5,000. I still probably would have bought it for $5,000. And pretty bummed out about that. But I'm sure there's somebody really excited about that buy out there. Oh, but when the guy flipped it, he didn't mention that it had frame damage, which is kind of a scumbag thing to do.
So Drew was telling me about this car. I was like, oh, I saw that on Facebook Marketplace. And he's like, it wasn't on Facebook Marketplace. I'm like, yeah, I saw it. There's no way there was a second Imola ZHP for sale, roughly the same description. And I was like, it was $5,000. He's like, no, this was $3,500. I'm like, well, I saw it on Facebook Marketplace for like a day. And then it was gone, right? And there was no mention of the frame damage. So I mean, it's got to be the same car, right? The guy bought it, flipped it, didn't tell anyone about the frame damage. So that's kind of shady of him.
But. No, that's a scumbag move for sure. You know, flipping, I get it. I do it. I enjoy it. But
yeah, you're right. Flipping is a scumbag thing to do.
Don't be
frame damage. No one should ever buy from a flipper. Ever.
I agree.
Anyway, no, so go on, Drew.
Anyways. So, you know, I'm like kind of beat myself up. I'm like, this sucks. And it's like Saturday night, and it's late Saturday night. It's like 1 a.m. and this bug pops up. It's 6'6", Arizona bug. Looks okay from the pictures. It looks like it might have some rust damage. But I'm like, that's a pretty good price, you know, $4,500 for a 6'6 bug. The only problem is it's like super north on the 17, like a bajillion miles away. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do it. But I send it to my buddy Eric, who's a huge Volkswagen fan. And every once in a while, we go in on cars together. And so he like wakes me up Sunday morning. He's like, dude, I'm like, I can't stop talking to this guy. Like, I want to go buy this. I'm like, I don't want to drive up there. And all of a sudden this S2000 pops up and 8 minutes posted. I messaged the guy and no response. I messaged him again. I'm like, hey man, like I emailed you. I tried calling you. It goes voicemail. I assume you have a ton of other offers. If it's for sale, let me know. I have cash. Let's just make this happen. Because the irony of that is I was literally thinking to myself, man, it really sucks. I don't think I'll ever be able to buy another S2000 because they're no longer affordable. And, you know, the guy, hour and a half later, messages me. But in between there, I'm like having a crisis in my head. I'm like, I'm losing my touch. Like, this is what I used to do all the time. And that's how I always got all these amazing deals and drove so many of the cars that I always wanted to drive and that I was always enamored with. And because I'd be the first guy to be like, yeah, dude, I'll take it right now. And like, let's just make it happen. Or, you know, just get crazy lucky with some deals. And I was just like, dude, I'm slipping, like hardcore crisis about everyone, it, which is stupid.
Everyone's flipping cars now though. So
like, I know. Yeah. And also the cost for anything enjoyable has gone up so much that it kind of ruins it because it's not like you're playing with $3,000 to $5,000 now. You're like anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000. It's like, what the heck, dude?
You and I were talking about.
It's almost like enthusiasts got flipped out of being able to afford fun cars. Strange.
Strange. That is what happened. And it's funny because Drew and I, we were literally talking the other day. I think mentally all four of us are guilty of being stuck in 2012 pricing. Like
E30, I'm at like 2016.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Last year, it's gone crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like an E30 is a $2,500 car. E36 is literally disposable. Mark II, like, you know, I feel
those
like
are still, 20... those are still disposable.
But I feel like in 2012, the one you got would have been like $500, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, it's just everything. Miatas, I mean, Nick can vouch what the Miata market is just insane right now, right?
Yeah, so clean on A is going to be anywhere between 95 to 10.5.
10.5.
What the heck, dude?
Yeah, when Haggerty did my thing and they're like, wait, what is your car agreed value on? 4,000. They're like, this is old. They're like, we're gonna update this value for you.
Have an agreed value of $4,000 on your car.
When I insured, that was
did they mistype a couple zeros? Jesus.
No, when I insured the car with them, it legitimately the market didn't exist. You could It was like $4,000. He's like, I'm sorry to say this, but the agreed value is $4,000. I'm like, I'm not sorry. I expected that. It's like worth an Xbox and like an Otter Pop. Like, I understand. And now it's like.
So I sold my first Miata for. I had to freeze the Otter Pop.
Damn it.
So back to the story. Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm like losing my edge. And this guy messaged me back. He's like, hey, I have like 300 people messaging me. You were the first one. If you want, come and get it. So I drive up there. I message Eric. I'm like, look, this car is a North Scottsdale. I'm not super interested in the bug, but I'll go up there because I have to go up there anyways. So Eric and his wife pick me up. She drives us to the S2000. And we meet the guy, quirky dude. He's the second owner of the car. He's owned it for 6 months. Knows the original owner or was like remodeling a house for the original owner. And she was an old lady and she's like, I don't drive it anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then what's unfortunate is I think he kept the receipts unless the new owner found them in the car. But there's probably about $2,000 in receipts. He replaced all the injectors, coil packs, fuel pump, all with Denso parts, like the proper parts for the car. He replaced starter, which is a pain in the butt job on that car. But like it was pretty well taken care of. And you can really tell a lot of a car's history by how the interior looks. And for a car with 150,000 miles on it, it looked really good. And so I'm like, all right. I'm like, hey, would you take this? He's like, absolutely not. I'm like, full asking price. I'm like, cool. Let's rock and roll. Do it. Get in it. And so Tan goes home. That's my buddy's wife. Eric hops in the car with me. And we're in, you know, another 40 minutes up to
a nice part of town.
I don't even know what that is. It's not even like New River. It's like in between New River and Carefree. I don't know. It's far, and it's like tucked away in a part of town that I've never seen before. So it was a kind of cool drive. Amazing.
Get out more.
I do. It's just, you know.
It's just like 15 minutes away from me. That's why I give you shit. Because it's not that far from me, because it's right up the street.
You know, the irony is if this whole process wouldn't have taken so long, I was like, oh man, I should call Andre, see if he wants to get lunch. But so we go up there, meet this guy, really nice guy, and he opens his garage, and you know, we're just kind of talking to him, because my buddy Eric is like the typical like hippie VW guy. And the irony is, like after we bought this car, he's like, man, that guy was kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, totally. Just like you, you fucking weirdo. but this guy like he opens the garage and like here's this awesome old GL, and then like 77 to like 82-ish 911 Targa all disassembled, and then this amazing Scirocco. Super cool. He's like, oh yeah.
Scirocco was cool.
What?
Yeah, we should point out, even in case it's not
confirmed. Scirocco was cool.
It was like lime greenish. It had like plaid interior. It was
plaid green matching interior.
Yeah, from a Westfalia bus, which is so cool. Dude, that thing was awesome.
When I go pick up the car, I'll try to get a a couple pictures of it.
Please.
So we ended up buying this bug, and Eric's like, oh, I'll drive back. You know, I always drive air colds. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I'll drive the S2000, twist my arm. And so we're going on the freeway, and he's ripping like 75. I'm like, what is going on? Like, either that's a freeway flyer, and this thing feels great, or he's going to blow that fucker up. And we get to Glendale.
Solid option. Wonder cute. Great or bad? Oh.
Yeah, and then I start smelling. I'm like, hey, dude, you need to slow down. Like, so it slows down to like 65. I'm like, really, dude? Like, you need to drop to like 50 in this thing. And we get to like Glendale in the 17, like just not the best part of town. And it breaks down, and we think it's vapor lock, and we're like, let's go get some lunch. And bloods or whatever, like gang affiliated people like looking at us. And it was very uncomfortable. But
man, you've lived in a gated community too long.
No shit. No, if you saw me, be like, oh shit. But yeah.
So did it blow up?
Well, we tried starting in, won't work. So then we had to drive all the way back to Gilbert, grab the truck, grab the trailer, then drive all the way back to the west side, which is where Andre lives, and then put on a trailer, starts right up. It was vapor locked, and towed it home, and it's fine now. But yeah. So
it's not looking good for my Jetta purchase. I'm about to buy this thing. It's about to explode on me.
I mean, you also aren't going to immediately run it all the way to its top speed and beyond for sustained hours.
Oh yeah.
If I'm going to drive it to Gilbert, I'm going to have no choice.
Well, I was going to say, actually he is.
Actually I am.
Eric Alex, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why were you driving at 75? He's like, the speedometer said 60. He's like, I thought everybody was just driving slow because the car looks so cool. And so, that was that.
The whole freeway drove slow because it was cool. I love it.
GPS speedometer.
Well, I don't know if the speedometer works. I don't know if any of the gate. I mean, they all move, but I don't know if they're accurate.
Yeah, but that's why you have your phone. Just put an app. You'll be able to see.
Yeah,
I guess. So, Drew, how long was that day? When did you start? When did you finish?
Started at 12:30 and got home at 8:30.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you could have still called me for lunch.
That's the takeaway here.
Well, we ended up getting Chinese food at some place, and the lady was very rude. Well, so my kids really wanted to see me that day, but I managed to ruin that anyway. So that's the only reason I didn't want to get the bug. I was like, no, like, he's like, let's go get it. I'm like, that's a lot of work for like a 66 bug.
Well, we got it. And I'm assuming you're just going to kind of sort through it and then sell it off to its new home.
Yeah, I want to drive it a couple times, though. That's like my second 66. And the other one was a shell. I think Wes went with me. Did you go with me?
I went with you. Mm-hmm. Remember, because that was the dude who's like, yo, I got a Porsche motor sitting here. You're like, I got to get this motor.
Yeah, I'll buy the bug there for the Porsche motor. And it was a
He's like, yeah, you got to buy the bug. But it comes with a Porsche six cylinder. And like, I was like, that seems very unlikely. And you're like, well, we got to go check it out. And I remember because we went and got the truck and trailer and we pull up and this thing was sitting on the curb. And like, as we pulled up, both Wes and I like started laughing because it was a Corvair motor sitting on the sidewalk. They don't look anything like to a Porsche motor. This is clearly a Corvair motor.
I'm pretty sure they're boat anchors.
They're awful. And we get out and you're like trying to be nice to the guy, but you're like, he's like, yeah, this is out of a Porsche. It's like 911. You ever hear of them? These things are fast as hell. And like all of us are staring at this just lump of useless metal on the ground. Like, oh, so let's go look at this bug. And then like, he didn't want to let you take the bug without the motor. Right. I think did you have to take the motor? Or did we initially leave behind?
I think I might have said I was going to come back and get it or something.
That's right. I think you're like, yeah, I'll come back for it. You did what I did with that S2000 exhaust.
I was going to say, it's what you did with the exhaust.
By the way,
left it on the curb.
That was pre-truck. That was MDX and trailer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had the Acura towing. That was funny.
That thing was a workhorse. I would highly recommend an MDX to anybody.
06?
Right? Dude, yeah.
06. You towed an Impala? Like a 90s Impala?
Oh, did you come with me for that?
No, I heard the story though.
Dude, the brakes were smoking.
The brakes are like, why are there four MDXs suddenly?
Yeah.
All right. Well, congrats on both those. Any other major purchases? Should we go to mine? Is that a good transition?
Almost. Yeah. I think will.
That was the perfect setup.
I do want to stand up for Drew as a flipper a brief moment, though.
No, sure. Don't do it. I won't let you.
No, the reason I will
Oliver, start talking.
Drew holds a set of standards that's like absolute at the top. Like, I won't forget when somebody went to try to flip my square back after they bought it, and Drew hammered them down enough he got blocked on the post because the person tried saying it was their one owner car, and then he's like, I know who had that. So like, he's got a set of standards. So I will give Drew credit. A lot of flippers are shitty. Drew's got a set of standards.
That's true.
You gotta be honest about it. You know, like,
ethical hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not ethical, douchebag.
Well, hey, you know what, man? I will say, and you guys all know this, like, part of the reason I do it is I just love the cars. Like, even maybe 48 hours. I thought I was going to have like a week or two with S2000. And there was just so much nostalgia in there, so many good memories. Because, you know, my first S2000 was a Suzuka Blue, and that's what this car is. It was an 03. This was a P2, or really 1.5, because it was an 05, so it has a bigger engine, but, you know, I digress. But it's blue exterior with Coke dealer blue interior. And, you know, it just brought back so many amazing memories from, you know, just being, like, newly married and spending time with my wife, driving to Vegas, like, driving that car everywhere. That was the car that made me fall in love with the platform. And, you know, I had a lot after that, and I kept my 06 for 7 years, which is insane. And just the way that car drives, the way it feels, it's a pretty special car. So
I let's just launch into mine, because after all that, it's hard not to just immediately admit that I purchased that car from Drew, that 05 S2000. It is mine. I own it. The title is now in my name as of today. So,
yeah.
Congrats.
Appreciate it. So, okay. Fun story. Yeah. Like, we just heard about how Drew got it, right? And that was what? 24 hours before I came over to your house? Not even.
Yeah, you came over the next day. You're like, hey, man, I just like to drive that. Like just playing it cool. He's like, I just like to drive that before you get rid of it. I'm like,
did you expect that I was going to buy it?
No, I had no idea. No, I was just like, yeah, dude. I mean, that's part of the joy of like doing this. Like, anytime I get something, if you want to drive it, go for it.
So here's the thing. I need to backtrack a little bit. Yes, I purchased the S2000, but this actually, the story goes a little bit deeper, and Nick has not heard the end of it for like 2 months now, so I'm sure he's glad this is over. But I've had this like bug lately, and I've been looking for a EK hatch, so like a Civic hatch, for a while. And I didn't say anything on the podcast when we recorded because like I wasn't sure if when I was going to do it. I didn't want to, you know, really talk about it until like things were concrete. And I wasn't having a, like, I didn't even look at one because none of the ones that popped up, like, that were listed were even worth looking at. Like, they were all trashed or, like, heavily ruined. So, like, you know, destroyed fenders, cheap suspension, stuff like that.
As 90% of them are.
Right. And so, that Japanese meet that Nick and I went to, this, like, what perfect EK pulled in.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was black, K-swapped. It was on ITR wheels. The paint, it was like black. It didn't have a single scratch or swirl in it. It was just like mirror. And I was like, Nick, I got to buy one of these. Like before they become like AE86s or something like that. Just unobtainable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking for a while and just nothing, nothing, nothing. Then Drew, like literally afterwards, we went to get lunch and Drew texted me about this S2000. He's like, you want to come get it with me? I'm like, no, I'm at lunch right now. I'm not going to be ready by the time you need to go. So he goes and he gets it. And then like, you know, that bug that creeps in the back of your head, like just an idea. You're like, oh man, I don't know. An S2000 would be kind of cool. And that, like, it checks all the boxes. It's high revving. It's got that Honda reliability. You know, they're known for how they handle and whatnot.
And the last time I had a bug like that, I ended up with a supercharged 540. So, you know,
I think sick. Maybe this one will end a little bit better.
Be careful. Just be careful.
Well, I don't know, Drew, is your name Max? Then we're fine. Anyway, it crept into the back of my head. I was like, let me message Drew. I just want to go look at this thing. I haven't driven any Honda. Like, I haven't gone to see a single EK. Let me go look at this S2000. Just so I can, like, drive something in that realm, all right? And I legitimately, Drew, when I messaged you, I had zero intention of purchasing this thing. And I even joked with Nick when I was on my way. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go check out that
S2000. I didn't think it was a joke. For the record, I thought you were dead serious. You're like, oh, I hope I don't buy this thing. And I'm like, he's going to buy this thing.
So I just figured, I'll drive a Honda, kind of get out of my system while I continue this search for the right EK. All right.
Real quick, the last S2000 you drove, wasn't that mine when it was turboed?
Yeah. So I drove two. I drove Josh's AP1.
Yeah.
For a little bit. Not like a long drive, but just like around the block, you know, up and down the streets. And then I drove your turbo S2000, which was, because of that clutch, a miserable experience.
Miserable. Yeah.
That clutch was
on off switch. Yeah.
Yeah. I barely could get it moving. And so like my experience with the platform was limited, and neither of them were stock, right? So like I get to your place and there's this blue on blue S2000. His was on like coils. His was also an AP1, so I don't know if maybe that changed much or not. But I hadn't driven a stock AP2. Mm. And here's the thing: Drew hates it. My favorite combination for the S2000 is that blue on blue. I think it's quirky. I think it's like it's really cool and suits the car. That blue is like it's like a light blue. It's deep metallic though. And it's got a lot of flake in it. It's gorgeous. And I don't know. I love how it looks. And I look at this thing sitting in front of the house. I'm like, oh, that's pretty clean. And we went around the corner so Drew could take pictures to immediately list it for sale. So I rode with him. And like the AC was just blasting. The AC is better than like my TSX AC. You had the top down. Weather's nice. And like even for the passenger seat, I could tell like, oh, this thing feels pretty tight. Like, you know, it seems, even though it's 150,000 miles, it seems like it was well cared for. And you're taking all the photos, I'm looking at like every single angle around the car, like, holy cow, this thing's super clean. Like the interior is minty. The soft top is literally brand new. Actually, Nick and I figured it out. It was replaced, and it was replaced at a dealership with an OEM soft top, not like an aftermarket Robbins, which is what, like a $3,000 bill or something?
Probably, yeah, $2,500.
Yeah.
So that's like, crazy. How'd you guys figure it out? Different day.
There's a couple of missing clips.
And from replacing soft tops, I quite a few times myself on vehicles, I know where to check where if a clip goes, you just go ahead and say, fuck it. And you keep going because nobody will see it.
That is the worst job. Oh, I did that on my red one. It is miserable.
But this one's already it's done. It's
perfect. Yeah, it's absolutely nails perfect.
It's bone stock. Even the radio is stock. Like it hasn't been changed. And I was like, Drew, can I drive this thing? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Literally, you told me, like, when we got in, you're like, I don't think you're going to like it. I don't know if you remember saying that, but you're like, I don't think you're going to like this thing. Like, it's gutless.
I honestly tried to talk him out. I'm like, dude, your M3 is better.
We ripped around the block. I was like, nope, game over. This thing is the best. It drives so well. Like, it's so easy to, like, row through the gears. It's super buzzy and like it wants you to shift. And then like, if you need to slow down, just downshift a few times and like so easy to rev match. Like the shifter feels excellent. The clutch engages perfectly. And I was like, we get back to your house. I'm like, this is pretty good, man. And you're like, yeah, no, you know, if you were interested, I'd cut you a deal or something like that. And I was like, okay. And then we went to Glendale. Just like so you could pick up something. So I rode in the truck with Drew. So this is probably where things went all wrong for me because I had like an hour to stew on this thing with like no other input other than Drew. And so we ride to Glendale and back and I'm like, all right, we get back. And I'm like, I don't know, man, let me like sleep on it. I really like this thing. I get home and I'm like, I can't stop thinking about how well this thing drove. I was like, I gotta buy it. Like, I have to buy it.
The whole time, it's not like I'm talking about how great the car is. I'm like, yeah, I think this is why I got rid of it. And yeah, I remember this thing. And, you know, like, it's cool. But, like, you know, this kind of, like, bugs me. And, like, nothing positive. So don't think I was like, yeah, dude, like, Suzuka Blue, best color.
He's not talking about how much he hates it. It is. It is objectively the best color. But whatever. You can be wrong, sir. So here's the logic too. And I told this to Nick. I think I told this to Andre. It out of the box drives beautifully, right? Like, I mean, just it's sharp, it's dynamic, it's everything that you want out of like an enthusiast car. Plus it's rear wheel drive, that doesn't hurt. And if I were to go down the EK hatch route, right? I'd have to buy like an EK hatch for whatever, like $3,000, and then dump like 10, 12 grand into it to make it drive just as well as a stock S2000. And then if I ever wanted to get rid of it, which, you know, at this point, like with the S2000, I don't know how long my ownership will be with it, but I'll lose money on it. Whereas right now, S2000s are like skyrocketing in price. So I called Drew the next morning and I made an offer and I ran to the bank, got cash and like scrambled to your house. Like I took a little bit off work to like come buy it. And I picked it up the next day. So, like, I started the week zero intention of owning an S2000, and now I have a Suzuka Blue AP2 in beautiful condition. So, thank you, Drew. I got flipped on.
You're welcome.
He did the Cinderella story of, I'm going to take her out. I'm going to put the top down in perfect weather. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give a little taste of what that open-air atmosphere is like, and then let you go for a ride with me for 2 hours so you can't think of anything else but the car.
Lock you out from the rest of society. Yeah. Make you ride in the Raptor.
Allow you not to get inputs from anybody else. Let's see.
No. I mean, to Drew's credit, there was no pressure there. In fact, I think he really did actively try to talk me out of it. But
I was going to make a lot more money.
Yeah, that's true. He did come make it.
But I mean, Eric and I went halves on that, and I called him, and I'm like, I wanted to go to Oliver, but I also know, like, we weigh in on this and how do you feel about this? He's like, oh, it's going to Oliver? He's like, yeah, I'm cool with that, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, that makes you, like, man, one of our friends like happy, like, go for it.
Oh yeah. And no, I appreciate it, both of you. I don't even know how to describe it because I think I haven't had the car long enough. I'm on like day two of ownership. This has happened very recently before recording this episode. I drove it last night and this very rarely happens. I didn't want to stop driving, but like I had to get home so I could sleep. And like, I don't often just start driving aimlessly. That's not like a thing that I do, but with this car, I want to do that. I'd like to top down all the time. Yeah, it's incredible. And the thing is, like, I don't know what it was about the previous S2000 that I drove. I mean, yours is just because it was too difficult to drive. And Josh's, maybe it's just because I didn't have enough seat time or, you know, I don't know what it was specifically about that one that didn't click with me at that time.
He had like spring, I can't remember what suspension he had.
Buddy club.
It had nothing to do with the suspension. Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, maybe it's just the point of life I was in, you know, but it didn't click with me at the time, and this time I was like, oh, I have to have this. And so, like, irritatingly enough, it drives a trillion times better than my M3. I mean, it's more modern, fine, but you know, it's just so much better right now. And like, I don't know, it has that, it's that really buzzy, you know, it revs to the moon and, you know, it wants you to wind it out all the time. So yeah, I don't know, I love it. I really, really genuinely love that car, which again, not expecting to buy it, but here we are, S2000 owner.
The best part about that car, and this is what I was thinking about in the last like month as it's starting to get hot, you know, I'm like, I have two cars I really love, but come summertime, like, I'm done, you know?
Right.
I picked up my daughter from school on Friday. Oh my God, that was the worst experience ever. I got there like 5 minutes late, which is 20 minutes early. But if you're there, school lines suck. You guys will find out one day. But
nope.
Oliver, maybe. Everybody else, no. But you're sitting there. So I'm sitting in the 9:30. I'm just like, why aren't we moving? Why aren't we moving? I'm just for 20 minutes watching it like right normal temps. Like a little bit warmer, then I start sweating and it gets a little bit warmer. I'm just like, God, this is miserable. But my daughter literally asked me, she's like, Dad, all I want you to do is pick me up in the white Porsche. I'm like, all right. And so it was like 90 outside. I'm stressing out. We have like another 50 degrees to go. And so like, I'm legit shutting it down for the summer. And I just like, you know, the S2000 was so great. And that's kind of what got this thought process going, is because you can drive it. It's relatively cheap. Like, there's an S2000 tax, but if you take care of it, like that motor, I hopped in it and it got up to temp and I just started like ripping the red line every time. And Eric's like, whoa, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, you don't want to blow this motor up. I'm like, no, that's where this motor wants to be. Like, that's where it likes to live. It's between like 5,000 and like 8,400. And it's the best feeling to just be able to rip it. And arguably, I would say that transmission is one of the best transmissions ever made. Like, it is the shortest throw known to man. It's such a great car. I'm really, really happy for you. You should wrap it white.
I'm not wrapping it white. I like the blue on blue. It's literally my, so that's the other thing of all the S2000s. It wasn't red. So there's that, that going for it. But that color combo is my favorite. I mean, so kind of game over. I don't know, man. It's good. I can't wait to continue driving it right now. I do need to fix the axle shake. So I ordered axle spacers today. Probably flip the cups and get that all sorted. And beyond that, like right now, I kind of want to enjoy it as is while I figure out if what I want to do. Obviously, wheels are a given. That's who I am. I'm not even going to deny it. But, you know, we'll see. Should AMS be a lot oil. Of fun.
AMS oil diff, AMS oil transmission, whatever oil you want. But do that. Let's do that all at the same time while you have it up in the air. That way you don't have to worry about it. yeah, I'm excited. It's cool. I'm sure this is how Andre feels every time he looks at BMW, just so excited because he can diagnose it and work on like any part immediately.
But Andre just left the podcast. That's really strange. He just disconnected. Must have lost connection there.
But no, I like legit gigs.
Threw my computer through a window.
That car is really easy to work on, but then also I know all of its quirks because of I owned one for so long.
All right, I'm stoked. And the thing is, it really is. It's hard to explain over audio how clean it is, despite the mileage. And like actually, Andre, you're the only one who hasn't seen it. So
yeah, that'll happen when you live in the good part of town.
Right. Yeah. Well, someday I'll come out from the boonies and I'll show it to you, or you'll see it Saturday. But it's really clean. Like it's just. Yeah, obviously it's been driven 150,000 miles. Like there's some rash on the bumper from like going over a curb, I guess, or something, you know, like rubbing a curb. The rear bumper has definitely been resprayed. The paint has got like some UV fading going on the fender that I'm pretty sure will like buff out. Nick took a look and he said it looks like it should clear up okay. But, you know, who cares? It doesn't need to be flawless. It just needs to be nice, and it is nice. So yeah, I'm stoked, and I wonder if that's like one of the last stock S2000s in the world. Like
fenders aren't even rolled. That was like the first thing I walked up.
That was the first thing I checked too.
when I walked up to it, like to check it out, I was just like, I just looked back at Eric. I'm like, you don't know what this means. This is rare.
The most unmolested, S2000.
So the lady that bought it new, and she went over to the BMW dealership in Scottsdale and said that this is the story. Went to the BMW dealership in Scottsdale. She wanted to buy a Z3 really bad. And the salesman was so rude that she walked out and went over to the Honda dealership and bought the proper car, the better car, the more reliable car, and was happy until now.
As indifferent as I am about the S2000, I will have to concede and say that it is better than a BMW.
Dude, well, Z3 is terrible unless it's like an M3.
05 would be Z4, but still not great.
I haven't even driven one of those. I assume it'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
The Shift is going to be better than anything BMW is going to have.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. He complained in M3. Yeah, so I bought S2000. And again, I did not start this week anticipating buying one. So if we tally it as we get to the end of this episode, I bought an S2000. Nick bought wheels. Drew initially bought that S2000.
I bought an S2000.
What
Andre
else?
Bought a Jetta.
And then
Andre bought two Jettas.
Two Jettas. Jetta squared.
God, what an expensive episode.
Oh my God. License plate Jetta 1, Jetta 2.
Oh
my. And my other car is a Jetta.
On both of them?
I'd rather be driving my Jetta.
Which is always true, no matter which one you're driving.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So yeah, this was an expensive episode, but hopefully, you know, an interesting one. I think, you know, future episodes, obviously I got some fun stuff coming up for the M3. I don't really want to talk about yet, but I did something pretty crazy. Probably going to ruin it more. And you know, S2000 updates, Mark II updates. So yeah, I think it'll be fun.
I might flip the Mark II, see what all the hype is about.
You're negative $200. Like, I don't get why you do this, Drew.
I had to pay the guy to take it from me. How do you sustain this?
Horrible hobby. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's it, unless anyone wants to go anything else. I think just call it there.
Most expensive podcast with four people with day jobs.
Just like a $25,000 episode. Something like that. Yep. No more, because God knows what a 2021 Jetta is. So
yep.
All right.
In the grand scheme of things, is not that much money.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, true.
Well, thanks for listening. be sure to follow our podcast on whatever network you're listening on, Spotify, iTunes, you know, all the good ones, Apple Music. I guess it is now. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Think about it. The bus is the original Brodozer.